episode 16 of season 3 of The Bad Apples. My name is Klaatu, I'm your host. Now this episode we're doing something a little bit different. This is just going to be all listener feedback. I have a lot of email that I felt like I should probably catch up on, and so we're just going to read listener feedback. It should be cool, there'll be some tips and some playful banter and all that other good stuff. So stick around, let's listen, and see what happens. Thank you for joining me. So the first email that I got, well, no, not the first email I got, but the first email that I felt like I should read is from a guy named Pokey. That's not his real name, of course, that's his nick on IRC. And he was saying, and I've talked to him, actually, on IRC. So he, I didn't know he listened to my show, actually, but he does. It's really neat. People kind of, like, started emailing me after, I don't know, what, episode 15, talking about, you know, when I was saying that I don't really track my web stats or whatever. People started emailing me and say, yeah, actually, I do listen to you, which was really neat. That was really cool because this way I'm getting to meet a lot of new people that either maybe I've run across in IRC or maybe not, or maybe I met them at Ohio Linux Fest, maybe not, or Scale, or maybe I've just never heard of them before in my life, which is really cool to get an email from someone you don't even know, and they're like, yeah, I listen to your show, and it's a good show, and thanks for it, and could you cover such and such a topic sometime? You know, it's really neat, that aspect of independent media. You do have that interaction, whereas in mass media, mainstream media, you don't really have that. You know, the people who are producing that don't necessarily care about you one way or the other. They simply want, you know, they care that you spend money on their advertisers. That they care about. But in terms of whether or not you speak to them or interact with them in any way, no, that's not important to them at all. But in independent media, you really have that opportunity to provide feedback and to talk to the people making the recordings, and that way it becomes more of an interactive kind of thing as opposed to just them making all of the media that we're going to consume, and we consume it, and I just think that's a good thing. And that's another reason, of course, why I like Linux, is because it isn't just they make the software, we get it. It's an interaction. And I think that's really important, actually. And none of that really has anything to do with Pokey's email. However, Pokey does say that he does listen to The Bad Apples, which is great. Thank you very much for listening. And he says that he's a telephone tech for a university, and he works with Verizon tech guys a lot. And he says, number one, 3 points. One, number one, in his area, if the customer asks for a combination modem / router, the Verizon will provide them with that for no extra fee or anything. You just have to know to ask for it. So that could be nice if you are going with Verizon, and you know, rather than spending the $40 on a router or $50 or $80 or whatever you're going to get, just get the combo. But he's saying this specifically because who knows, maybe the modem in that combination would be better than that horrible Westel 6100F that my friend had to deal with. And by the way, just FYI, my friend switched to Comcast this week. They're going to come over and switch her over to Comcast. So, you know, Verizon just was a big fail, I guess, in that situation. The DSL modems, this is point number two, he says, the DSL modems compensate for the distance from the central telephone office by increasing voltage, which obviously increases the potential for heat, you know, the temperature of the modem. So if the modem is far away enough from the CO, which I guess is the central office, it will it could quite possibly overheat every so often. And so Verizon techs a lot of times will say, yeah, unplug that modem at night. That's not an official Verizon stance, obviously. They're not going to actually say that, but that's the truth. I felt the modem because I've had modems overheat before, so I was not completely oblivious to that possibility. But I felt that modem, and that was it was not overheating. It was something other than overheating. But that is a good point. And I admit, for a while I was putting the router and the modem kind of stacking them on top of each other, and then I was kind of like, well, that's a dumb idea because that's just going to overheat. It's happened before. But I don't think this was a heat issue. I was talking to my friend this week, and before she switched to Comcast, and it sounded like it was happening. It's still happening. I mean, that's why she's switching to Comcast. So I don't know what's going on. It could just be a bad telephone line for all I know. Not being physically there, it's a little bit difficult to say for sure. Number three, point three that Pokey has, is that he suspects that returned units are reissued. That would be my guess as well. I'm sure that Verizon does not... I mean, these little modems and routers and things that they send out to people, you can just assume that they're being, you know, maybe a quick fix, maybe not even that much if it turns out that it's, you know, not an issue that they can definitely put their finger on, and yet it gets returned anyway. You can bet that they're reissuing it. It's probably very easy for them to do that, and doesn't cost them, you know, cost them less to just keep reissuing equipment and replacing the ones that are finally really, really bad, rather than trying to filter through, you know, is this good, is this bad, what's going on? I don't know. It seems like something properly lazy for a company like that to do. Pokey goes on to say that I do not sound like a woman, which is very nice to hear, because as I said in episode 14 or 15, the Verizon technician kept calling me madam, even though I kept telling him that I was not a madam, that I was not a girl, I was a sir. Oh well, whatever. Doesn't really matter. Erno emailed me. Erno also listens to the show, and he is saying that the he's got a G4 tower, and he bought it thinking that he could turn it into a home router. And he realized after he got the tower that there aren't really that many router distros specifically built for PowerPC architecture. And he asked me if I had any thoughts on that. Unfortunately, Erno, and by the way, nice to meet you. I'd never heard from Erno before, so that was kind of neat. Erno, I don't know anything about router-specific distros. I don't actually even know anything about turning a tower into a router. I've never done it. I'm very new at the whole networking thing. I'm getting better at it. I'm understanding more and more of it. But I don't consider myself a networking guru by any means. So the router, like the home network with a, you know, your own router, just a dedicated computer to route things, I really am not, I'm not too clear on how you would do that. I don't believe, I mean, I have not heard of a PowerPC distribution that specific. And this goes back to what Deep Geek was saying in you know, episode whatever it was, 15 or 14 or 13 or whatever, that, you know, okay, so is it really worth going PowerPC or to some kind of obscure chipset, the CPU? And just like I said then, this is kind of like exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, it is worth it if it's the difference between getting a computer or not getting a computer. You know, go for the one with the PowerPC. If you don't get it, you're not going to have a computer. I would rather have the PowerPC because I do get a lot done on PowerPC computers running Linux. That said, you kind of have to think in advance. Okay, well, what exactly do I want to do with this computer? And what exactly am I okay with not being able to do? And one of the things that you're not going to be able to do is, for instance, install Flash. You can just install Ganache, the free player of Flash, because they have open code. They have their free software. They're GPL version 3. You can compile it on PowerPC. It does not matter. The Adobe-branded official Flash release, however, was not made for Linux PowerPC. You cannot get it on there. It's not going to work. So that would be an issue if that's going to be something that you want to do with your PowerPC box. Something specific like this. I want to turn it into a home router. Well, you can. You can sit there with Fedora, PowerPC, Debian PowerPC, Slackintosh, whatever, and build it yourself. But if you go x86, then you've got all these different distributions that are just really, really specific. You know, you have FreeNAS for, like, your dedicated network attached storage. You've got all those different firewall and router distros that are out there done for x86. So it just depends. It really depends on what exactly you're going to do with the computer, what you think you can get done with it easily, you know, what kind of support you think you're going to need and what kind of support you think is available. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that, Erno. I'm sorry I can't be more helpful, but if you want to, I would love hearing more about this project as you get further along with it, because I'm really trying to start, I'm trying to do more with my home network now that I've got the Slackintosh server that I've set up on a G3 tower, actually. I do want to start kind of getting more into it, so good luck with it. Keep me updated. That's that. Terry F. emailed me, and he laid claim first to being the 13th listener, and I don't know why, but like three or four different people wrote in specifically saying they wanted to be listener 13. I mean, I guess that's because during that other show I had said, like, oh, I think we're up to 12 listeners now, meaning that the next one was going to be 13. I just think it's really cool that people are writing in saying that they want to be the unlucky number 13th listener, because that's the bad apple style right there. In fact, I think I'm going to just claim 13. We're going to reserve 13 as just an asterisk, you know, a wild card listener. We'll say that anyone who wants to be listener 13 can be, because that's just appropriate for the bad apples, I think. Very unlucky number. I like it. Terry F. says to pencil him in as listener 13. Well, I just made it the wild card listener slot, so sorry. Pencil yourself in. He says that the Swiss Lotto, you know, good luck on with winning that, which, by the way, I've not seen a check for that yet, but he does say that he's been in contact with the Nigerian prince, which is really cool, and I guess he's been swapping account numbers around with him, trying to help him get some cash out of Nigeria due to an issue, some kind of death in the family, fascist regime, something like that. Not really too clear on the details, but it sounds really promising, Terry. Good job for jumping on that when you can. You don't want to let opportunities like that go to waste, so definitely follow up on that and let us know, you know, when you get all that cash. Matt from Virginia wrote, again, this guy I'd never heard of before. I don't know him as far as I know, but he just decided to email and say, yep, he listens. So that's pretty cool. He can pencil himself in as listener 13 as well if he wants. He says that he listens to the Bad Apples. He says that he's been using Verizon for quite a while and has had no problem. And honestly, I'd use Verizon at some point too. I mean, I remember not having an issue with them, and that's why I was kind of surprised when my friend had such an issue. But, you know, I mean, those kind of horror stories are just a dime a dozen, really. I guess the point more, rather than taking away from the story that Verizon is horrible, it's just that Westel modems that serve as pointless gateways are really bad and not a good idea. And Matt says that he's okay with AUG going all AUG as well. In fact, so far I think everyone I've read, except maybe Terry, everyone kind of commented on the whole AUG thing and were very, very supportive and positive of it. So I'm taking it. None of my listeners seem to mind, which is really cool and encouraging. So he says that another podcast, which I'm not going to mention the name of because I don't particularly love this podcast, But another podcast, Linux podcast, claims to have had 200,000 downloads. 200,000 downloads? It doesn't say between when and when, so... But that's a lot of downloads to me. But this is why I don't track numbers. I can't figure out exactly what like how do they come up with this number? Are they sure it's 2,000 downloads, or are they seeing multiple downloads, or did someone subscribe to it in iTunes and has no idea that they're even subscribed, much less how to take it out of their list, and so they just keep downloading episodes, or what's going on? But 200,000 downloads, of which only 2,000 were OGG. And it's, you know, that's fine if that's correct. I mean, that's a pretty small percentage. Could totally be true. I don't necessarily doubt it. However, I also don't necessarily, I don't ascribe too much importance to it, because it's numerical data from completely unknown sources, completely unreliable, you know, web tracking kind of stuff. I would want to know more about that kind of number before I guess took it to heart. So for what it's worth, someone claims to have 200,000 downloads and they claim that only 2,000 of those are OGG. I don't think that really means anything. And I think people who, and I'm not saying that Matt is trying to say anything, I'm just saying that, you know, if you're going to look at numbers, then look at them with care. Don't necessarily believe everything you think you see. And don't assume that just because there are only 2,000 OGG downloads of this particular podcast, that there are... it doesn't matter. I mean, OGG is still there. And the fact that there's only 2,000 downloads out of their 200,000 downloads, 2,000 out of 200,000, simply means that OGG needs more exposure. That's what I hear. So, I guess me and another show that has actually just gone OGG only as well, you may know it as Linux Cranks, we're doing that. We're giving it a little bit more exposure. So thank you, Matt, for the email. I'm not saying that you're saying anything. I'm talking more to the podcast who's making the claim about these numbers, and just kind of wondering about those numbers. Interesting, no? And now I've got an email from Digsit, and he says that... He says something. Hold on. I'm looking. He says to send him the beans. He does not need them ground. So I just wanted to let you know that he is truly hardcore. And he also says that the Oggcast dominoes will soon be falling. Well done, sir. So thank you, Digsit. That is very nice. Once again, I just think it's really cool that everyone seems to be pretty much down with the whole Ogg idea. I mean, it really is really neat. And I wasn't sure how people would take it. I wasn't sure if I was going to get hate mail or what. But so far, I have not gotten any complaints except from Peter64. Who uses OpenSUSE, so I don't think he really counts. And that's an inside joke. I don't really think that Peter64 doesn't count because he uses OpenSUSE. It's just an inside joke. Hammer, the other winner of the coffee contest, also wrote me and said that he thinks that the helicopter... I had surmised that maybe a helicopter dropping the coffee at his house would be better just because of the snow situation that he seems to be in. And he says it's not a bad idea, and he looks forward to relaxing in front of the fireplace after a lot of snow shoveling, sipping coffee. So I'm going to send out the coffee to him and Digsit sometime this week. I will get around to that, I am sure. And finally, I've got an email here from Jeff. Again, this guy I've never heard of before. He just emailed me out of the blue. It was really cool. It's just really neat to meet new people, I think, via podcast and stuff like that. So this is really pretty nifty, I think. And he said that he does listen, so that's good. He wrote in to say that he listened. So as you can tell, the list is up to, like, what? Possibly 16 or 17 at this point. So we're kind of a big podcast, if you think of it, in terms of how many teens of listeners you have. We have 17. So, he says that he's got an iPod, but he did the Rockbox firmware installation, which, of course, that's what I'm running on mine, and I think everyone should run it. It's a really, really good little app. It lets you listen to Ogg, and you don't even notice the difference, really. You're just happy. The only difference is that you don't have to subject yourself to the iTunes method of disorganizing and reorganizing your music for you. It's very, very fulfilling and nice and pleasant. He says that he was playing around a little bit with a Dell Inspiron 9300 laptop over Christmas. Set up a Kubuntu on it, that is Ubuntu with the KDE environment, one that I definitely think is really, really nice. And he said that it worked really well, including the Wi-Fi. He doesn't say what Wi-Fi card it is. I would kind of be curious to know, just for kicks. He's interfacing it with his iPod, obviously. I mean, that's Rockbox, so it's no surprise there. Networking's good, virtual network computing, printing to a printer connected to a Windows box. Basically, it just sounds like he's really kind of got himself a cool sounding setup there. So that's really cool, Jeff. And he says that he's got a lot of the applications, that he uses anyway on like Windows and stuff are the same applications that he uses on Linux, and I can identify with that totally. That's the great thing about using, all the free software and the open source stuff, is that you are using software that is compilable and available across all the platforms. So if at work I'm using Firefox and Thunderbird and VLC and Vim and stuff like that, then you go home on your Linux box and you sit down and you're using Firefox and Thunderbird and OpenOffice and Vim and all those other cool applications, and it's such a it's really a lot easier to transition, I think, just kind of in your own mind, from one system to the other. So that's kind of neat. He did say that, and this is interesting, he did say that his laptop refused to shut down at one point. Some kind of weird issue that he was having. Couldn't figure it out at first. He Googled it, did some research, and eventually figured out that it was a corrupt swap partition. So he fixed it. He doesn't really say how he fixed it, but he fixed it, and from then on it was great. It was better than ever, he says. That's really cool and interesting because I did not know about this issue. I've never heard of this before. Corrupt swap partition. I mean, now that I hear it, it sounds completely logical. Yes, I could see how a swap partition becoming corrupt would cause kind of a weird problem. And indeed it did. And it's really cool that he figured out, that was the problem and figured out how to fix it and stuff like that. So, thanks for that little tip, I guess you would call it, Jeff. And thanks everyone for emailing. I don't know. I feel like I'm probably missing one or two people. I mean, Azimuth from Linux Cranks, he wrote in and said that, yeah, he listened. Some guy named Randy wrote in and said that he did a whois search on unixporn.com, and unixporn.com, of course, is my site that I have set up, and you just post your screenshots of your desktop. It's not porn, it's Unix, but I figured it was a good little site to just for people to throw their desktop screenshots onto. And so he did a whois search because he's trying to track me down, I guess, and couldn't find me, so got frustrated and eventually wrote me trying to say that he wants to know what's going on with Unix porn. And I'm kidding. He's not really looking for me. I'm totally kidding. I'm sure he's just a geek who, who hasn't sat down and done like a whois and a host and a dig search on various sites, right? We all have done that. So there's no problem with that. I'm just kidding. But he says that he just got kind of got curious because it had been registered in 2007, and was wondering why it was not online until very recently, and had I like hacked into the site and taken it over, or was it donated to me by a dead aunt, or what's going on? I think I might have told this story before, so I'm just going to say it really, really quick. The fact of the matter is that the domain unixporn.com was registered by a group of people who were doing terrible things to unsuspecting, Unix and Linux computers. They were posting pictures of like Windows servers serving files to Linux boxes, which is obviously some kind of sick fetish. I mean, some Windows admin must have. Or they were forcing young, Unix or Linux boxes to network with Windows machines, sometimes many Windows machines at once. It was flat out sick. I mean, it was really crazy because we all know that Windows servers don't serve Linux boxes. It's the other way around. We've got the Linux server serving everyone else. So it was really just kind of a perverse, kind of horrible site. And when the feds found out about this, they came to me and Gort, being the famous crime-fighting duo that we are, and they called us in to infiltrate and ultimately destroy this ring of Unix pornographers. And we did it, and it took us from about late 2007 to very recently, and because we had to take it slow. We didn't want the small players. We wanted the big guy at the top, we had to get it from the very high level. And I can't say who was involved, but I will say that it goes to the very top levels of some of the most well-respected agencies in the world. It would be shocking to you. But anyway, Gort and I managed to bring it down, although Gort was sadly killed in battle. And afterwards, we took the domain over and we started posting nice, wholesome, family-friendly pictures of happy and healthy Linux desktops. And that's how Unix porn came around. So thanks for emailing, Randy. Thanks for the question. Very, very nice of you to be curious and to write in. Now, Jonathan, who I interviewed, I think at the beginning of the third season, maybe at the end of the. Yeah, I think it was the beginning of the third season, actually. I interviewed him. He's a blind Linux user, and he is doing some. He's setting up a store, where he will build computers for the, for for Linux-based computers, which is really neat. And he was originally, I think, going to call it like Ubuntu Emporium or something like that, but then I think he's going to have to change the name because he says that, first of all, Ubuntu is kind of touchy about the use of their name. That they're kind of protective over that brand, so he's probably going to expand it into being more of like Ubuntu, Fedora, Mandriva, Linux Mint, OpenSUSE, whatever you want, basically installed on it. He could probably install it. So he's continuing work on that store project, and I told him to keep me updated as it comes along, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very interested in learning about that website. And I think it's a great, I wouldn't call it cause, but I mean it's a great venture for sure. It would be really cool to build computers that are going to be preloaded with Linux. I think that's a really cool idea, really cool little service. And hopefully he'll be able to sell things, maybe on eBay or Amazon or something like that, as well as through his own site. You never know. I mean, there's a lot of outlets out there now for computer sales or for sales online of really anything. So best of luck to Jonathan, and I'm sure he will keep us informed as his store continues to develop and become something that is ready to make sales. Lord Drakenblut was talking to me in IRC, and he was talking to me about Amarok. in relation to me having gone completely AUG only. And he was saying that Amarok actually has a lot of plugins to make the fact that I've gone to AUG kind of transparent to anyone who might use Amarok. And he said that there's something called Amacode, Amakode, and I guess that's a plugin to Amarok that will transfer an AUG file to your Apple firmware iPod by transcoding the file and then dumping it onto the iPod. So if you are using an Apple iPod, and if you happen to be using Amarok, you might want to look into finding the plugin called Amacode and seeing if that works for you. If you are not using Amarok and you are using an iPod, you might want to give that a shot. Amarok. I don't know what other applications out there really talk to the iPod. I'm pretty sure that Songbird does. I'm pretty sure that Rhythmbox maybe does. I don't remember. Like I say, I don't really use any of those. I don't use the Apple firmware for the iPod in the first place. And so when I put music on my iPod, I just dump it on there like a USB mass storage device via Rockbox. So I'm not clear on it, but certainly check out Amarok. I've heard a lot of good things about its iPod support, and now I'm hearing a lot of great things about how expandable it is, which is, again, just really exciting. I love expandable software. That's really neat. So that's Amacode. And then he also said that there was something called Transcog, as in transcode, except transcog. And that transcodes to AUG. So if you've got files that you decide you want as AUG, right there in Amarok, you can transcode it from MP3 or AAC to AUG. So that's really cool, because the only way I'd really, well, no, that's not true. I was going to say the only way I knew to do it was VLC, but then there's also SOX. But check out Amarok if you want the more GUI way of doing it, or maybe it's a little bit more fluid than VLC, I'm not sure, but he says it's really good, and I believe him, and so should you. This isn't listener feedback, but I thought it was pretty cool. There's a radio show in New York called Off the Hook. It is done by the makers of 2600, and so it's about, phone phreaking and hacking and social engineering and all that other good stuff. And for whatever reason, someone mentioned my episode from Hacker Public Radio about identification cards, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, it's a fake ID with my real name and an odd expression on my face, but Walter.
Like you said, the podcast Hacker Public Radio did a great episode on, two-part episode on ID and how it works and like to get around and stuff like that. It's I think it's by Klaatu on hackerpublicradio.org,
Okay.
and
So
I
you
recommend
go
checking
there
out.
and check that out on that subject as well. Okay, we're just about out of time, but
Yeah, a show like Off the Hook, to mention me, was really, really neat. I liked it. That's why I had to play the clip. It's really cool. It's a great show, and 2600 is obviously a fantastic publication, fantastic organization. I didn't get a chance to go to the Last Hope. Wish I could have, but I'd gone to Scale and I'd gone to Ohio Linux, or I was going to Ohio Linux Fest. Just wasn't going to work for me to run off to Last Hope. But 2600 is definitely something you should check out. If you don't listen to the podcast Off the Hook, you should. And if you don't pick up their magazine at your local bookstore, your local magazine rack, you should do that as well. It's a great little zine kind of magazine. It's really well made, and it's just got great articles. It's a little bit like, I guess, sort of the print version of Hacker Public Radio in a way, because it's got a lot of those hackery kind of topics, but they're written by, just the listeners and or the readers and just everyday people. It's not star journalists or anything like that. It's just regular people writing articles on these subjects, and they're really good articles. Really fantastic magazine, well worth checking out. So check that out. And that sound clip was was obviously from the show. That was January 7th show, and thanks to 330 and Enigma for pointing that out to me, because I hadn't heard the show yet. And on Wednesday, or on Thursday, someday, one day, they told me that I had been mentioned, and that was really cool. So that's a form of listener feedback, technically, and it gives me the opportunity to plug 2600 and Off the Hook. So there you go. One last email from Rain from France, and Rain sent me a PDF about Blender, the Blender interface proposals for Blender 2.5, which is really, really cool. It looks fantastic. It's about maybe 25 page document talking about some of the current weaknesses of the interface design, as well as a lot of the current strengths of the interface design, as well as the direction it should take in the future. It's a really fantastic document. I have no idea where this came from. I don't know. It was written in November of 2008 by a guy named William Rainish, and it might be found on his website, perhaps rainish.com. I'll try to find the exact link online and put it in the show notes. But it's a really fascinating document, really, really cool, about interface design, about some of the strengths of Blender, how great it is to have an interface that is the same across all three platforms, an interface that was really very influential. If you look at the other, some of the other effect programs, like Apple Motion and Modo and Shake, things like that. This is, Blender is really, really has kind of influenced those in a very noticeable and positive way, really. And some of this guy's ideas seem really nice. I don't know how much of this is actually going to be implemented in 2.5. How much of it is just his idea, I'm not sure. But it is a really neat document if you're into interface design and Blender, both of which, as you probably have figured out by now, I am. So that was a really cool document. Thanks a lot for sending that, and I will try to post either a link to the document, or I'll just post the document, and you can download it from my site as well. It's pretty interesting stuff. That brings us to the end of tonight's show, dear listener. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to all the wonderful email that the show has received. And be sure to tune in next week when we go back to our regularly scheduled Tech Geek Linux discussions. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me. If you want to go by the site, it's thebadapples.info. And be sure to be nice to people and support free software. Good night, and God bless.